inherited IRAs, bad things can happen. It's wonderful to inherit money. It's sad that you've lost somebody in your family, but let's get the most out of it regardless. Join us on Consider This program this week. We'll help you understand how your inherited IRA has to work.
Joseph Clark is a certified financial planner and the managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group, an SEC-registered investment advisory service. This material is being provided for informational or educational purposes only and does not take into account the investment objectives or financial situation of any client or prospective client. Those seeking information regarding their particular investment needs should contact us or another financial professional. The opinions expressed were current at the date of taping but are subject to change without notice due to tax law changes or market, political, and economic conditions.
All assets transfer, hopefully, to your beneficiaries, to who you want them to go to, not your ex-son-in-law, not the IRS. Hopefully, they get to where you want them to go in the least amount of expense and problems that you can. Welcome to Consider This program. I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
Inheriting an IRA, Angie tells me, is the topic here.
Yes.
So things have changed, obviously, with the
Secure Act.
It was signed December 20th, right at the end of last year, out of the blue, by the way. Nobody wants to know how the sausage is made, but just in case you do, Congress had passed the Secure Act way back earlier in the year, May, June, somewhere in that. Senate hadn't got around to it because they're not going to agree on anything. And in a joint partisan bill to be able to get the government funded, the Secure Act was put in at the 12th hour in that legislation and became effective January 1st of 2020. Amazing that you can change rules that quickly. But they did. So what would you like to know, Angie?
Well, one of the questions we've had before is about RMDs. So a question is, can the RMD calculation be reset when a successor beneficiary inherits an inherited IRA?
Okay, so what happened, let's break this down because we really have three types of people that are listening. We have the people who are listening who are confused.
Okay.
Who don't know that anything happened, right?
Don't feel bad if you're part of that.
We still had a wonderful lady who came in. I've been writing the newspaper column for 20 years, and she came in last week, and she said, Joe, I love your column. I read them all the time, and I know I have to start my required minimum distribution at 70 and a half. And I said, well, I appreciate you reading the newspaper column, and I'm glad you've learned that, but you've missed the last two because I've written about what happens now. It's at age 72. So we have people out there that are confused, that forget that the rules change, and I'm going to go on a wild tangent about my boot here in a minute because that's what I wrote the newspaper column about last week. So you have people that are confused. The second group you have are people who have already inherited an IRA. So if there are two types of beneficiaries, Ken, there's you,
mm-hmm.
and there's and your spouse,
right?
And there's not your spouse, right? So they call them non-spousal beneficiaries.
Okay,
it's very complex,
easy enough.
Right? It's very complex. So as a spouse can always roll her or his 401k or IRA into their name. Okay, still can. Nothing changed with that act December 20th, with the Secure Act. In the past, if you were under 70 and a half as the owner, so Ken, it's Ken's IRA and Ken Croak's, he's under 70 and a half, he dies, your wife can roll it into her own IRA as a spousal IRA.
Okay.
If you left it to your kids, they could roll it into an inherited IRA, and because you were under 70 and a half, they actually get to take the money out over their life expectancy. Now, since you're still with us and alive today, that means you didn't die in 2019.
True.
We're now in 2020, where
the rules changed.
Mm. Now, and this is very, very important to understand, now your kids have to empty. Spouses still get the same rules, right? They can roll it into whatever they want. But the spouse or the non-spouse, anybody else, has 10 years to empty the account. So there's a lot of people like me who've done very, very complex planning, right? So think about it. You've got one kid in high school and one in college, right? Their income right now is very, very low, but in 10 years, hopefully it's higher. They're doing better, right? And all of a sudden, Ken dies on time, right? And it's your life expectancy and you're 84 and a half and you croak and they're 50, right? And all of a sudden, they've got to take money out of an IRA at their highest tax their highest earning years, right? I mean, it's really, really, really sad and frustrating. I will tell you, as a planner, I'm not happy that kids who are trying to build their own retirement, their own accumulation phase, are going to be stuck with having to pull $1 million out of an IRA and pay taxes on it all at one time, right? So what you're going to want are strategies where that money is paid out over the 10-year period as opposed to over 1 year. But that's the rule that's changed. So if you already had inherited an IRA before December 31st of 2019, nothing changed. If you were a spouse, nothing changed. If you were anybody else, with the exception of chronically ill, disabled children, minors, people that are within 10 years of the age of the beneficiary, with the exception of everybody else, everything changed.
One question that I got says, can you combine IRA accounts that are inherited from the same individual?
Ooh.
I know. And so I tried to look that up, and the only thing I could find is it says you can, as long as RMDs are calculated using the same life expectancy
right.
factor.
Because it depends how the beneficiary was originally titled, whether it was a what I call a living, breathing person. The IRS uses the word designated beneficiary. But if you have an inherited IRA and it's from the same person and you are the sole beneficiary, my guess is you could probably put those together and be okay. I would, and that's why I'm part of Ed Slott's group. You know, I've got 380 friends that are CPAs, tax attorneys, and geeks like me. We spend 6 days a year together every year, twice, 3 days each time, where we do nothing but read tax code and look at this stuff to be able to put it together. And
that's
certainly one that I would ask. I haven't seen it happen before. And I would tell you, the person who left the IRA behind, guys, when the older you get, the more simple you want stuff, right? I mean, we work very, very hard to simplify the number of accounts that people own. I mean, we have people come in that'll have 15 accounts, and you're 67 years old, and I'm looking at them going, why would you have, you know, and the idea is diversification. They think they're safer that way, and what they really are is more confused that way. You know, and so we were able to get down one, and in one case, we were able to get down to three accounts. You know, they had a trust account, an IRA, and a Roth, as opposed to 15 to 17 different accounts that they had across the spectrum.
You mentioned titling. So how should you title an IRA if there are successor beneficiaries, either spouse or non-spouse? Is there a certain way that you title?
Yeah, each custodian has their own. So if I kick the bucket, you would have an inherited IRA from Joseph A. Clark for the benefit of Angie Kinzer.
Yes.
And then the date of my death.
Okay.
Right. So all of that is on a legal titling. You know, it's important that you get it right. But Ken, here's where people really, really make mistakes with inherited IRAs.
Okay.
Right? You've heard me say that all money is not equal.
Correct.
Right. So if you walked into my office and said, Joe, I have $2 million, well, that's a beautiful thing, but I'm going to ask you where the $2 million is, because if it's $2 million in a 401k versus $2 million in a checking account that you've already paid taxes on, there's about a 30% difference between the two, right? They both have the $2 million number, right? But not all money is created equally. And we had a case last year. It's why we work so hard to work with the beneficiaries. It wasn't last year. It's probably 4 years ago now. But the father that I'd taken care of for over 25 years dies. Daughter inherits the IRA and the brokerage account, right? So the custodians are responsible to send out a letter to, once they knew that dad had died, to say, hey, this is your IRA. Now, we've got that fixed so that they would have never even known that would have happened, so we could have taken care of him now. But bottom line is, the son-in-law, right? It's always the in-laws, right? Son-in-law has a great idea. Let's take the money out of the IRA and pay off the house. So they had the money to pay off the house in the joint account, but he didn't pay attention to the taxes. He just simply took the money out of the IRA, said, send me a check. Once it comes out of an inherited IRA, there's no backsies. There is no, I can't fix this. And he was livid with me for not being able to fix it. I'm going, I didn't do it. You know,
so what was the penalty?
I didn't create the full taxation. No penalty. In an inherited IRA, there's no 10% penalty because you have to take money out.
Tax at your current income
just
level?
Tax, but all of it, right? So they made, you know, a little over $100,000 a year. So they were in the 22% bracket. Mm-hmm. Back then, 24% bracket. And added $218,000 on top of it. That was taxed at 24 and 28%, I think it was. A beautiful, beautiful moment in their lives, right? And nothing I can do about it. Hey, you're listening to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark. We would like to invite you to call in, talk to Angie, 800-928-4001, and find out about a Next Steps meeting. See if you qualify. Sit down. You can talk with one of our advisors, 800-928-4001.